Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Thursday, Rumination Thursday, January the 19th in the year of our Lord 2017. And being a Rumination Thursday, we're talking about a subject that we hope you will be interested in. Yesterday, I went over the epistle reading for the third Sunday after the Epiphany, where the Apostle Paul appeals to the church that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. And the point I was making was Paul's talking about theological doctrines. If you don't agree with the theology of the Bible, you're really going to have some problems within the congregation. Well, Reverend Wes Reimnitz found an article where somebody says that even Jesus didn't believe in original sin. And so that's going to be the subject today. Thanking Wes for finding that. How you doing, Wes?
I'm doing fine. I thought you'd get a kick out of that article.
Yes. The author says Jesus didn't believe in the original sin, and neither should we. Now, boy, does that ever say an awful lot. First of all, we need to make it clear that the author was a woman pastor, and so that should really cause some doubts about anything that she's going to be writing about. But at any rate, what she has to say would really divide a congregation, because it not only denies original sin, but more importantly, it messes up what the work of Jesus Christ was when he came here to earth.
Exactly. And, you know, when I started researching it, that really outgrew from what we talked about last week about abortion and right to life and things of that nature. And as soon as I got done, I started taking a look at original sin with also, as you mentioned, this Sunday's epistle lesson. Everybody's right in their own mind, aren't they?
Yes. You know, some time ago, I was reading on the internet, and it mentioned that the running mate of one of the presidential candidates had said something about abortion that I thought was just horrible. And so I phoned Issues Etc., and I said, "Did you hear about what he said?" And a little while later, they phoned me back and said, "I'm glad you phoned us before you put it on the radio. That's what's called fake news."
Oh, really?
Yes. He really hadn't said anything like that. But during the election, there was a lot of fake news. And that's what I wrote at the top of this article, fake news. I can't believe anybody even writes about this. But this particular woman, and her name is Schroyer, they say a former pastor and theologian. I can understand why she's former. But she says the doctrine of original sin is something we shouldn't believe. But before we start, can you give us a summary of the doctrine of original sin?
Well, original sin, we're talking, dates back to beginning of the world, so to speak, with Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Where they look at this tree, or this, there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil, which Genesis 2:17 says, "You shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die."
Yes.
That's chapter 2. Chapter 3, guess what they do?
They eat of it.
Yeah, they eat of it, and they fall into sin. And as the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible explains and tells us that because of that one sin, we all fall into sin.
Yes, so we have a Book of Concord, which is, of course, the Lutheran Confessions, and one of the articles is called the Apology or Defense of the Augsburg Confession. And Article 2 has a number of pages on original sin. And let me just summarize, it's what you just said. It is further taught that since Adam's fall, all human beings who are naturally conceived are born in sin. From their mother's womb, they are all filled with evil desire and the inclination toward evil. By nature, They have no true fear of God and no true faith in God. So that's what we mean by original sin.
And, of course, we would back that up with Psalms 51:5. I was sinful at birth, and sinful from that time my mother conceived me. Or John 3:6, where Jesus himself says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh.
Yes. In fact, she makes the point that Jesus didn't believe in original sin. And so I was looking up passages where it's pretty clear he does. The one I found, John 16, beginning with verse 8, he's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And the first thing he says, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Now, he doesn't say the Holy Spirit will convict unbelievers. No, he will convict the world concerning sin because they do not believe in him.
Could we start with John 1:1, though, too?
Sure.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And who's the author of the Bible but God himself, Jesus?
Well, that's a really important point. As soon as she said that Jesus himself did not believe in original sin, there are numerous passages in the Old Testament of which Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father were really the motivators behind the prophets writing these things, so that they were writing the mind of God. So that, like, in Genesis chapter 8, after Noah built an offering, you know, after the flood, verse 21 says, "And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, 'I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth.'"
Youth, yeah, you beat me to it. I got that one down, too.
Yes. Oh, well, have you got the Ecclesiastes 9 one?
No, I didn't get that one.
Okay. Listen to this one. "The hearts of the children are of man are full of evil."
Evil, yeah.
"And madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead." Now, that's not just saying a few people. It's the children of men.
And it kind of reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive."
Well, that distinction between Adam and Christ, Paul works out in Romans 5, verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And then he goes on and says that Jesus then reverses that with the cross and the resurrection.
You know, Job said the same thing in Job 14. "Who can make us clean out of the unclean? No one."
Exactly. So this idea that, number one, the Bible doesn't teach original sin is ridiculous. And second of all, because of what you said, that Jesus obviously is also the Word as found in the Bible. Anytime you find an Old Testament verse, it's about Jesus and his thinking. Remember the road to Damascus? No, not the road to Damascus. The road to Emmaus.
Emmaus.
Yes, that Bible study. Jesus was going throughout the whole Old Testament. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, individuals say, well, if you used her thinking that Jesus didn't believe in something because it's not found in the words of Jesus, then I could say, well, Jesus didn't believe that I have to stop at a stop sign.
Right. Well, you know, really, a lot of what we're discussing is the Word itself. She was using, as you pointed out at the very beginning of the program, theological concepts, theological doctrine that some theologian may have come up with. but then get to the heart of the word.
You see, here's where she really goes off. People know they sin. What they don't know is what to do about it. I don't think the best answer is admitting you are irrevocably bad. I think it's realizing your home has been in God all along, and it's time you head in that direction because abundant life is waiting.
It really takes truth down to whatever you think it is.
Plus, it absolutely takes God out of the equation as the one who saves you. You can now save yourself by going towards God, heading in that direction. Why? Because, abundant life is waiting. Talk about a theology that is filled with self-interest rather than interest of Jesus.
Of course, and it never tells you what that abundant life is. The other thing is, it says you're going towards God's love, and it doesn't tell you what God's love is rooted in.
Exactly. There isn't any necessity for Jesus. She talks about, rather than original sin, we should talk about original blessing. Can you explain that a little bit?
Explain that one to me, because I don't catch it.
Okay. She says original sin is centered on human action. Original blessing is centered on God's sovereign choice to love us. God gives us this relationship at first breath, and when we respond by anchoring to God's steadfast love, we find a right relationship and a wholeness with everything else.
I don't catch it.
No. Oh, what does she mean? How does one respond and anchor ourselves in God's steadfast love if you don't know about Jesus?
That's right. I mean, the whole point of God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
Yes. What is the antidote that we would say is to original sin?
The antidote to original sin is just what we talked about in 1 Corinthians 15. For as in Adam all died, also in Christ all should be made alive.
And how does that life come about? What gift do we receive from Jesus because of the cross?
You get the gift of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the forgiveness of sins to all that believe in the promises of Jesus dying upon the cross. In other words, we also talk about it in terms of our glorious exchange. That was the other thing that was missing, was baptism.
Oh, absolutely.
And the glorious exchange that happens in baptism, where God takes off our robes of sin and gives to us his robes of righteousness of Christ who suffers and dies upon the cross for us.
Well, as you said, the antidote is really the forgiveness of sins. Now, I'm going to read this statement from her, and notice what she substitutes for forgiveness. I don't know any power other than the steadfast love of God that can conquer evil and reconcile terrible things. So, the love of God, but the fact of the matter is, whom doesn't God love?
Doesn't love?
Right.
The unbeliever.
No. No. For God so loved the
world. Well, yeah, he loves everybody.
Right. There is nobody he doesn't love, which means for many people, conquering evil still hasn't occurred. So the love of God is not sufficient in order to get me to change my life from one of doing sin.
Well, let's untangle this a little bit. Really, it kind of comes down to who does what, isn't it?
Yes, who's running the verbs?
Yes, who's running the verbs? Is it God running the verbs, or are we doing the running?
That's right. And according to the Bible, God, well, Hebrews says Jesus is the author and finisher of our salvation.
Yeah, it makes all the difference in the world that Christ is the one that's motivated. In other words, really, when we stopped and said, in the beginning was the Word. That Bible, from the beginning of Genesis 1:1 all the way through Revelation, is Jesus the author, and it's the story about Jesus.
Yes. You listen to this one statement. I think original blessing, that's her words, actually takes sin more seriously because it tells us we are actually capable of being faithful. What? How does a parent's love toward a child indicate that the child, therefore, will be faithful to the parent?
Jack, I looked at that one. I said, you're going to be kidding me, you know, that somehow I'm going to be faithful. You know, who among us, as we draw closer in faith to Christ, doesn't begin to realize how sinful we are? It kind of reminds me of Benjamin Franklin and the seven virtues that he wrote about. He started out to conquer them on his own, and after number three, he quit.
Yes. Yes. You see, from her point of view, she believes, and I'm quoting her, God has designed us to be transformed by love. No, it is actually the motivation behind that which transforms us, but what actually transforms us is faith in the promises of Jesus Christ who died, taking away the penalty for our sin.
And really, we talk about what, quote, change in our life as we walk away from the cross, not to the cross.
Yes. Somebody is asking her questions, and then she answers them. And she talks about, does your view change the way we think about the cross and the tomb? And here's her first response. If you read closely, it's the snake and the ground that are cursed, not Adam and Eve. Well, that would be news to Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Well, what's the specific curse on Eve?
Well, there in Genesis 3:16-24, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain.
Yes.
Yeah, and in pain you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.
And what's the curse for Adam?
Well, then to Adam he said, because you listened to the voice of your wife, and you have eaten of the tree which I commanded to you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed be is the ground because of you, and in toils shall you eat all the days of your life. So ground's cursed because of Adam.
Exactly. Yes, and Adam himself is cursed. I mean, if they weren't cursed, why the need for an angel to stand before the gate of Eden? Remember what God didn't want to happen, that they would eat from the tree of life.
Of life, yes.
Well,
yes.
That's a curse. And we're going to eat of the tree of life, according to Revelation, after Judgment Day, when those who have faith therefore go to that eternal home, and one of the benefits is you're able to eat from the tree of life and live forever.
Exactly, exactly. I just, the more I got to looking at this, she's looking at theological writings that somebody wrote, but wasn't paying attention to what the scriptures themselves had to say.
Because for her, the only scriptures that count are the actual words of Jesus. You know, some Bibles have them in red, but the fact of the matter is Jesus is always quoting from the Old Testament, and on that road to Emmaus, he was filled with Old Testament passages that talk about himself.
Would you call her one of these higher critical method type people?
I don't even want to give her that much credit, because she doesn't give any insight into why the promises of the original sin existing aren't to be taken literally. Her only argument is that Jesus didn't say those things, even though it's quite obvious that he did in certain things, as I showed from John chapter 16, that the reason the Holy Spirit's coming is to convict the world of sin. And if it's the world, that means the entire world is under sin and temptation, and that's what we call original sin.
Well, my comment would be, what would be the first thing you'd do to a person like that when you were trying to talk them out of that and back towards the scriptural principle.
You see, I would deal with her, if she's an unbeliever, differently than if she's a believer. Let's take the believer first. If she's a believer, then in her heart of hearts, she really trusts in Jesus. And I would get her to explain why Jesus is important now. And if the only thing that he is a good example of how we are to love others, then I would take her to Ephesians, where it says very clearly, we're not saved by our works of love, but through faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And so I would try and get her as a believer to be confused with what she thinks she believes in contrast to what the Bible really says.
Excellent point.
If she's an unbeliever, then we would just bring the law down on her, indicating that what she is doing is contrary to the scripture, because all of scripture, according to 2 Timothy 3:16, is given by inspiration of God, which means Jesus Christ. And therefore, any part of scripture that talks about theology, I can say these are the words of Jesus.
Right. Yeah, and that's so important. I had confirmation last night with an adult up there at Trinity Manitou. And that was one of the comments that she made as we were going through the catechism. At the end of each question and answer, there are Bible passages that point out what we had just discussed.
Yes, exactly. And that's why the Lutheran confessions have, they're replete with Bible passages, because what we're teaching is not a new doctrine. It is right out of the scripture.
Yeah, and that's why at the very beginning of the program, we were going through Old Testament, New Testament passages, pointing out how the Bible did talk about original sin, and especially how Jesus discussed it.
Yes. I began by saying, I think this is fake news, and part of it is the very last statements in the article. It says, this article is not available for republication. Now, can you imagine putting that on any of your sermons?
For republication.
Yeah, nobody better copy this. Why not, if it's true, if it's helpful? And she even starts off that one of the reasons she's doing this is because she wants to help people understand scripture better. But now, nope, not allowed to republicize it.
Yeah, we don't want people to know what we're really teaching here.
Yeah, that to me is what we would refer to as fake news. And I know you're not going to be doing fake news this Sunday. Are you preaching somewhere?
Oh, yes. I'm at Trinity Manitou. And I think I'm going to do that 1 Corinthians passage. I think you did a great job yesterday on that.
Yes, because you're going to have to say, I hear some of you are saying that I follow Wes. Others say I follow Tom Baker. Or I follow Christ.
Yeah, they remember Tom Baker.
That would be a good text to do. And then, unfortunately, you got to say, don't follow any of them.
Yeah.
Because we're just following Jesus, yes.
That's
and
great.
I'm tonight going to be at Trinity Orchard Farm, 7 o'clock, after an adult Bible class at 6. But at 7, we're continuing our study of looking at Old Testament passages. We're getting close to 300 of them now that are fulfilled in the New Testament. And so it's a free Bible study, 7 o'clock, Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm. What's your particular Bible study at where you're going to be preaching?
Actually, we're starting the book of Revelation, and we're using Louis Brighton's commentary.
Oh, excellent. That's great. All right. Hopefully next Thursday, another Rumination Thursday, and thanks for the finding of this topic. It fit right into the week.
Barely touched the surface, didn't it?
I know. God bless, Wes. Goodbye.
You too.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.